From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his second message in a series devoted to the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. In the course of these studies, we'll see how God took a fanatical enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ and transformed him into the greatest evangelist the world has ever seen, apart from Christ himself. In his first message, Dr. Cairns traced the early development of this brilliant young Pharisee, whose natural gifts and intellectual achievements placed him among the greatest minds of the ancient world. Saul lived in carnal security, absolutely convinced that he was doing God's will by seeking to stamp out every vestige of the religion of Jesus Christ. But deep inside him, he was unable to escape the conviction brought on by the preaching of Stephen, in whose martyrdom Saul had been a participant. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message called Kicking Against the Pricks. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, taken from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Going Out with Joy. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 18. And of Zebulun he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out. The blessings of the tribes are ours, for we are the true Israel who worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. Zebulun is to rejoice because Jehovah will bless his going out. We also see a promise for ourselves lying latent in this benediction. When we go out, we will look out for occasions of joy. We go out to travel, and the providence of God is our convoy. We go out to emigrate, and the Lord is with us both on land and sea. We go out as missionaries, and Jesus saith, Lo, I am with you unto the end of the world. We may go out day by day to our labor, and we may do so with pleasure, for God will be with us from morn till eve. A fear sometimes creeps over us when starting, for we know not what we may meet with. But this blessing may serve us right well as a word of good cheer. As we pack up for moving, let us put this verse into our traveling trunk. Let us drop it into our hearts and keep it there. Yea, let us lay it on our tongue to make us sing. Let us weigh anchor with a song, or jump into the carriage with a psalm. Let us belong to the rejoicing tribe, and in our every movement praise the Lord with joyful hearts.
Sure was all in its place, but your
Have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
almost certainly he was one of those Jewish leaders to whom Stephen gave his great message recorded in Acts chapter 7. And that preaching thoroughly infuriated Saul of Tarsus. First of all, it condemned him as a sinner and a lawbreaker, a murderer guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ. It condemned him. Imagine it. He couldn't imagine it. And being forced to imagine it, it nearly drove him crazy. Saul of Tarsus, a sinner. Saul of Tarsus, who knew the law, studied the law, kept the law, a lawbreaker. It was unimaginable. Yet that's what Stephen was teaching. And then Stephen's preaching went further, and it spoke of Jesus of Nazareth as the Son of God, and as the great fulfiller of the law, and as the only Savior of sinners, the one whom God had raised from the dead. Oh, how Saul of Tarsus detested such a message! And yet, he couldn't still its voice. He couldn't get away from it. I can imagine him going about the daily task, and that message was still going round and round in his mind. The words that he so despised were repeated inwardly again and again. Wherever he went, whatever he did, he could not escape the constant, repetitive testimony that he had heard from Stephen. He determined to crush it at all costs. He saw Stephen accused, condemned, and killed. And as he saw that, as they laid their coats at his feet, I believe that once again the heart of Saul of Tarsus was strangely stirred within him, and he had to kick mightily against the pricks. That inner voice refused to be quieted. Saul, no longer satisfied with his life, Saul, facing the law in which he had for so long boasted, now finding that that law slew his self-righteous security. So what did he do? He redoubled his Pharisaic efforts. He pushed himself further than ever before in his zeal for Phariseeism and against the Church of Jesus Christ. He set out to eradicate it. He used every ounce of his intellectual ability, his physical energy, his political pull. He used it all to eradicate the cause of Jesus Christ. But it was all to no avail. And so, as he rode along the Damascus road, the battle was still raging within him. Thus, when the Lord Jesus appeared, he said, "Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Only when he had received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and as his Lord did Saul of Tarsus gain freedom from the accusations that were destroying him from the inside. Only when he received Christ did he enter into a knowledge of true pardon, righteousness, and peace with God. Now, the experience of Saul of Tarsus was not isolated. It's typical of millions of souls in every age. What I want to do tonight is to consider this man and this period in his life, these events. I want us to think of kicking against the prick. The struggle of a soul coming to the realization of its sinfulness under the convicting work of the law of God. The struggle of a soul coming to the realization of its sinfulness under the convicting work of the law of God. Let me remark first that Saul lived in carnal security. As I've said, he was alive, at least in his own opinion. Looking back in those days, Saul of Tarsus, later Paul the Apostle, said in Philippians 3, verses 4 through 6, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now that gives you an insight into how Saul of Tarsus thought of himself before he ever met with this man called Stephen, preaching of Jesus of Nazareth. Here he was, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. There was no Jew that could boast more mightily than Saul of Tarsus. And no one could boast with more cause than Saul of Tarsus. He could honestly say, as far as the righteousness of the law is concerned, by all the standards of righteousness accepted among the Jews, I stood blameless. He was alive. He studied the law of God in order to save himself by obeying the law of God. And as he looked at the product, as he looked at the law, and then looked at his own life, this young man genuinely felt that he could congratulate himself on so finely fulfilling God's law. He was the perfect example of a good Pharisee. He never, for a moment, realized the true nature of the law. Not for a moment did he have any conception of his own sinfulness before the law. No, as he looked at the law of God, he kept on thinking, I am alive. That, my friend, is the state of carnal security. What is it to live in carnal security? Well, it's to feel good about yourself without any just cause. Feeling good about yourself when, if you really understood the Word of God, and if you really understood the attitude of God toward your soul, you would not feel good about yourself. Saul of Tarsus glibly said, I'm alive. So self-satisfied. So prim, so proper. So careless ultimately. Because he had no idea that there was any reason to feel anything but good about himself. The state of carnal security is to be satisfied with a religion that has no deep work done in the heart. A religion that goes along the surface. A religion that's satisfied with going to church, reading the Bible, saying prayers, giving money, doing this, doing that. It's all on the outside. It is no more than skin deep. It touches the intellect, but not the heart. To be satisfied with a religion that has no deep work of the heart is to live in carnal security. Carnal security is a careless complacency, even when that soul has no place for the Lord Jesus Christ. Saul of Tarsus hated the name of Jesus. He opposed the cause of Jesus Christ. He would give his time, his talent, his money, his energy, nay, his very life. He would give anything to eradicate the name of Jesus Christ. And yet, he was absolutely sure in himself that he was doing the will of God. He was absolutely sure in himself that he was right with God. That is carnal security. To be complacent that it's well with your soul when you have no time and no place for Jesus Christ. To be carnally secure is to be blind. Blind to the holiness of God. Blind to the sinful depravity of your own soul. Blind to your need of a Savior. Carnal security. That's how he was living. How many people in America tonight are hastening to God's eternity just like that? I wonder, as you consider your own soul this evening, are you like Saul of Tarsus? I wonder if you have mistaken carnal security for soul salvation. The scripture says in another area, but it's certainly applicable to this, let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. I want you tonight, by the grace of God, to examine your own soul. Do you see in Saul of Tarsus the mirror image of yourself? Is it true that you're happy to feel good about yourself based on human circumstances? Based on the way things are going with you in your life? The job is good. The situation's promising. You feel good about yourself. Could it be that you have fallen for all the hocus-pocus of modern psychological gimmickry that is telling people that the key to living is to feel good about yourself? We're living in a day when people have gone mad on this. The entire educational system of the United States has been subverted to be subjected to this thing. Education seemingly in most school districts anymore is not really to teach people, it is to teach them to feel good about themselves. So much preaching is to the CMM to make people feel good about themselves. Now, I'm all for people feeling good about themselves if God says you have a right to feel good about yourself. I'm all for feeling good about myself if I'm in Christ and I'm clothed with the righteousness of Christ and I'm united to God in the person of Christ and I'm washed in the blood of Christ. Thank God that's a good basis for feeling good no matter what the circumstances of life are. But I want to tell you, that's the only basis for feeling good about yourself. Carnal security is just this wicked, and it is wicked, this foolish self-congratulation without any solid basis. When the bumper sticker says, smile, God loves you, you're one heartbeat away from hell and the wrath of God, I want to tell you, you'd be an utter idiot to smile. What is there for a sinner to smile about on the edge of the abyss of eternal midnight? What is there for a sinner to feel good about one heartbeat out of hell? Yet so many are carnally secure, satisfied with a religion that has never done a deep work in their heart. I'm persuaded that there are millions in churches across the world who have never had their heart really touched by the grace of God. They've never seen sin. They've never hated sin. They've never loved the Savior. They've never entered into any deep relationship or any true relationship with Jesus Christ. All on the surface. I go to church. I pay my dues. I do good. I don't hurt anybody else. I do this. I do that. I do the other thing. They're satisfied with a religion. It's so shallow. That's carnal security.
You listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.